in your folder, turn to the black tab called Morning Session 2. Morning Session 2. When you have that, let's all read the title of this line and then read the title of the message together. So in this line, we'll be covering preaching the gospel on the campuses. Can you all hear me okay up there? Okay. So we'll be talking about preaching the gospel on the campuses. When we say the gospel, what's your reaction? I know some of you are excited to go back to preach the gospel. But I also believe in this room, there are some who are scared of the gospel. Maybe even terrified of the gospel. You don't have to raise your hand. You know who you are, and you know if you're scared of the gospel. I myself am very uncomfortable with the gospel too. When I was your age in college, I was scared of the gospel. But I've been serving on the campus for a few years now, and I've learned a couple secrets I'd like to share with you. One thing that has helped me to get over my fear of the gospel is to call it something else. So they're saying, if you're afraid of the word gospel, just call it a walk in the garden. When I was in college, an older brother shared with me that preaching the gospel is like walking in the garden. So you go in the garden and there's fruit there, and you're just kind of touching the fruit, handling the fruit to see if it's ripe or not. And if it's ripe, it should come off in your hand. But if it's not, don't try to pull it off. You just kind of go to the next fruit and the next fruit. Eventually, one of them will be ripe and it'll fall into your hand. Preaching the gospel is much the same way. You talk to one person, they may not be ready. They may not receive the Lord. That's okay. Let them ripen a little bit. Go to the next person. Eventually, you'll come to a person who's open, ripe, ready to receive the gospel. And so I had a gospel partner, a brother that I had preached the gospel with, and we would call the time a walk in the garden. There's no fear in that. And so we would walk and we would fellowship, and if someone came or we see somebody, we just walk with them and join them in our walk in the garden. So if you, if the word or if preaching the gospel makes you on campus, you can. If it makes you feel better, you can call this a walk in the garden on the campuses. This line will be a walk in the garden. Another way to consider preaching the gospel is to consider it as fishing. And this is the Lord Jesus. You know, in Matthew 4:18, the Lord was there walking along the Sea of Galilee, and there were two professional fishermen. They weren't there as weekend fishermen or doing it for a hobby. They were professional. They knew what they were doing. And one of them was Simon, who was called Peter. And the other one was Andrew. And as they were casting their net, the Lord came up to them. And he said, come, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. From that point on, the Lord changed their occupation from catching fish to catching men alive for Christ. I've always been, my wife and I have been quite impressed with these verses, and you know, we named our first son Andrew because of this. And so our hope is that one day he would become a fisher of men. Amen. Well, you know, a couple weeks ago, I went camping with a few families. And one evening I took all the kids to go fishing. And I got all the rods set up. I hook, bait, sinker, everything. I got it all and I taught them how to cast. And they were casting, and they were having a really good time. And as they were fishing, casting out and reeling in and casting out, and I was noticing there was fish around us. Like you could see on the lake, the fish were jumping up. And then beside us, there were some girls there fishing. They caught a fish. But for some reason, we weren't getting anything. And we were there for like an hour. And after a while, I got really discouraged. And so I thought, you know, I need to pack up. You know, it's too bad these kids can't catch any fish. Just then, a boat pulls up to shore. And I asked them, how was fishing for you today? And he said, that wasn't so good. Yesterday was much better. And as he was telling me this, he's pulling out like 6 rainbow trout. Big rainbow trout, good size. And I'm looking at that and I thought, that's not a good day. So I asked him, where'd you get those fish? And he said, well, you have to understand what the fish like. This lake is full of fish. There's fish right where you're at. But you have to know what they like. You have to know what they eat. And so he said, these fish aren't from here. They're raised from a farm in another place. And then every year, they release the fish. They stock this lake. And I thought, what a good example of the college campuses. Every academic institution is like a fishing pond or a fishing lake. And every year, depending on the size of the lake, they release fresh fish called freshmen. And you may be one of them. Every year, hundreds, maybe even thousands of fresh fish called freshmen are released into these ponds. And they're swimming. They're exploring. It's a whole new lake, new pond. And they're hungry. They are hungry. So Roman numeral 1 says the best fishing ponds for the Lord's recovery are the college campuses. This is without a doubt. You don't have this in high school. High school, they're still living at home. They're still on the farm, the fish farm. After college, in the workplace, you also don't have this. Only in the college campuses, universities, are they stocked every year with fresh fish. Fresh fish. This makes the college campuses by far the best place and the best time to preach the gospel. A says, in order to catch fish, you must go where the fish are. So many young people are gathered in the schools because the young people are gathered in the schools and it's easy to contact them. Going back to my story with the man who caught the good rainbow trout, he proceeded to tell me that, I showed him, you know, I told him, I'm not catching anything. Can you look at my setup and see what's wrong? So he looked at it and he said, oh, that's all wrong. It's all wrong. You got to do this, this, this. And so he proceeded to tell me that he went to the fish farms, and he also went to fishing stores, and he figured out what they feed the fish in those fish farms. If you can know what they feed at the fish farm, then when you release them in the lakes, if you get the same kind of food, they'll bite it, because that's what they're used to. And so he told me, the secret ingredient is garlic. And I was very skeptical because I thought, how can fish smell underwater? How can fish smell the garlic underwater? But then I looked at all his fish and the none that I had. I realized something must be working. Maybe garlic is the secret. Brothers and sisters, this again can translate into preaching the gospel. When you preach the gospel, or when you fish on the college campuses, you have to use the right bait. Now consider this. What would be the most effective way to preach the gospel to your classmates in school? Would it be really effective to have your parents there, or your grandparents, your uncles, sitting in class, and then afterwards preaching the gospel to your classmates? That's using the wrong bait. They're not familiar with the older people. People with gray hair, people with no hair. That's not what they're familiar with. What they're familiar with is faces like you, fellow classmates. So, for us, you know, some of us, we're older, we serve on the campus. You may think, you guys are the best for preaching the gospel. You're experienced. You know the word. You're equipped to go to to preach the gospel. Actually, no. When we preach the gospel on the campuses, we have to go to the fish, we have to corner them, and then talk to them. For you, it's so easy. They come to you. You guys are like garlic. You guys are like the bait, the perfect bait for your fellow classmen. They'll come to you and they'll ask you, What do you think about the professor? How did you do on that class? What are you doing this evening? What's the mystery of human life? They just swim right up to you. It's so natural, so normal. So B says, one of the best ways for the churches to get new contacts is to send our young people to the campus. We should send our fishermen to the fishing ponds. Who are the young people? Who are the fishermen? You're the fishermen. Okay. So you all should be sent. Now, some of you, of course, are very eager, ready to preach the gospel. I understand some of you are not so, maybe a little shy, maybe a little bit scared. That's okay. But either way, you all are sent to be fishermen. Let me read you a verse, John 15:16. And you tell me if this verse tells us if fishing is an option, okay? John 15:16 says, "You did not choose me, but I chose you. And I set you that you should go forth and bear fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give you." Does that sound like a suggestion? The Lord didn't say, you know, it would be really nice if you could bear fruit. If you do, I'll reward you. But if you don't, it's okay. It's all right. The Lord didn't say, there's not even that kind of tone in this verse. Let me read this verse to you again. You did not choose me, but I chose you. So there's no choice there. He chose us. It doesn't even depend on us. What else did he choose us for? I set you that you should go forth and bear fruit, and that your fruit should remain. There's no choice in the matter here, brothers and sisters. If you're a believer, if you've received the Lord Jesus, you have no choice in the matter. The Lord chose you, and he set you to bear fruit. It doesn't matter if you want to, you don't want to. If you're good at it, you're not good at it. If you're scared or you're bold, it doesn't matter. One day, when the Lord comes back, we have to give an account for this word. We have to, the Lord will come to us and say, so-and-so, did you bear fruit? Tim, did you bear fruit for me? Sarah, where's your fruit? We all have to bear fruit. There's no choice. You can't tell the Lord, well, I didn't have time. Well, Lord, you know, I'm terrified of the gospel. That's not an excuse. The Lord may say, I told you that you can ask anything of the Father and he will give you. If you're scared, just ask the Father. He'll take care of it. He's taken away every excuse. If you say, well, I didn't have time, the Lord may say, you're an evil slave. You do have time, but you chose to do other things rather than the gospel, rather than to take care of what I told you to do. Brothers and sisters, we all need to bear fruit. When I was in college, and when I read this verse, I struggled with this verse a lot because I didn't like to talk to people, and preaching the gospel made me very uncomfortable. But I knew I had to bear fruit. I had to bear fruit. So what I did, after much struggling, I made an agreement with another brother to go on the gospel every week while I was in college. We skipped some days, but for the most part, every week we went on the gospel. And I remember every Wednesday, I would drag myself to that time. There would be fightings within, fears without, I was trembling, doubts, you know, all these excuses were coming up. And I was trying to convince myself how to get out of the situation. But because I had made an agreement, I had to be there. And so every Wednesday, I would meet the brother, we would pray, and we would go out. And I have to admit, every time when I left that time, it was like walking on clouds. I was so elated, so happy. And there was a few times when students would get saved. We actually bore fruit. We bore fruit. And so it was wonderful. We all need to have at least this sense of responsibility. Every believer has this responsibility. We all should have a desire to bear fruit. Now, it's okay to be scared to preach the gospel, but you have to have a desire to bear fruit. If you don't have a desire, something is wrong in your Christian life. You are abnormal, and you need to confess and come to the Lord and consider, why do I not have a feeling to bear fruit? Why don't I have a desire to bear fruit? Is it because I'm too concerned for myself, Lord? Lord, is it because I love myself too much? Lord, is it because I love the world? I want to be like everyone else. I'm ashamed to preach the gospel. We need to consider, probe, dig before the Lord until we all have a feeling, strong desire to bear fruit for the Lord. So none of us have an excuse. We all have to bear fruit. Okay, the Lord doesn't just send us out to bear fruit. He equips us. And this is what we'll do in this message and in all the sessions of the second morning session on preaching the gospel. We will equip you, meeting after meeting, with everything you need to become a successful fisher of men. This morning, we'll equip you with two items that will help you to preach the gospel. Okay, the first item is in Roman numeral 2. Let's all read that together. We need the experience of the Spirit. It doesn't just say we need the Spirit. We need to know about the Spirit. It says we need the experience of the Spirit. What does this mean? Well, we have examples and we have patterns. In Acts chapter 1, actually in the whole book of Acts, which is an account of the acts of the early believers, they did everything by the Spirit. And so in Acts 1:8, it says, "But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you shall be my witnesses both in Jerusalem and all in Judea and Samaria and Champagne." No. Uttermost part of the earth. Actually, if you were in Jerusalem, I think Champagne might be considered the uttermost part. But we need to bear fruit. We need to go forth. But we do it with power in the Holy Spirit. This power comes from, how do you get the power to work? You know, we sang earlier, power, power, wonder working power. Where do you get the power? Power only comes when you're working. Do you need power to lie in bed? Do you need power to veg out on the couch? No. You need power when you're working. The power comes when you're working. And this power, the power that's in the Spirit, comes when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. So this verse says, "You shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you." How do we get the Spirit? Let's all read A together under Roman numeral 2. Oh, sorry, no, B. We are in the Spirit. Praise the Lord. Let me read you 1 Corinthians 12:13, and I want you to tell me what tense is it in, past, present, future. "For also in one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, and we're all given to drink one Spirit." What tense is that? Past. So it says here, in one Spirit we were all baptized. That means it's been done. Have you been baptized? In the Spirit? Are you in the Spirit? Have you been given to drink one Spirit? It's done. It's available. You and we all have the Spirit given to us for us to drink, for our essential Spirit, to experience the essential Spirit, but we also have been baptized in the Spirit for work, for power, as the economical aspect of the Spirit. It's been done. It's available to us. Okay, when did this happen? One says, under B, "The resurrected and ascended Christ, as the head of the church, has already baptized all his believing members in the Spirit." 2 says, the power to preach the gospel is in the Spirit. And we all have been baptized in the Spirit because we have the Spirit. We have the power to boldly preach the gospel. Okay, I had some strange concepts about power. I knew that there's power in the Spirit, but I didn't know what the power did. Did it? Maybe it caused me to be able to speak an amazing message like Paul did, or Peter did, at Pentecost. Or I thought maybe it allowed me to cause people to fall down. I don't know. It subdued people. I had strange concepts, and maybe you do too, of what this power does. What is this power? How is it manifested? How is it used? This verse tells us, and actually this another verse, Acts 4:31b tells us, they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they began to speak the word of God with boldness. The power gives you boldness to speak the word of God. Do you need boldness? Are you timid? Are you a little shy, scared to speak about the Lord to your friends? We need boldness. There's power for this boldness. Power to give you boldness to speak the word of God. If you have the Spirit, you have the power. If you have power, you have the boldness to speak the word. So we all need the Spirit, which has already been poured out. See, the power of the Spirit is based upon Christ's accomplished work. The crucifixion of Christ, the resurrection of Christ, the ascension of Christ, and the baptism in the Holy Spirit have been accomplished. So the power of the Spirit is not based on you. You may think, well, those who are really gregarious, those who love talking to people, those who are bold, it's much easier for them to preach the gospel. Actually, the power does not depend on if you're bold or not. It does not depend on what kind of disposition you have, what kind of character you are. It depends on Christ and what He has accomplished. Everything you need is in the Spirit, because everything He accomplished is in the Spirit. If you get the Spirit, you get everything you need, including power to speak boldly. How do you get the Spirit? How do you get this boldness? Let's all read. Actually, let's have the brothers read 1 under C. When you say by faith, or when you ask by faith according to the written word, you get it. You get redemption, you get resurrection, and you get ascension. This actually shows us a spiritual principle. There's many things in the Bible that show us that what the Lord has bequeathed to us, what the Lord has given to us. But just reading them, or just hearing about them in a meeting, doesn't mean that's yours. You know, we, as brothers, will be sharing to you many things in the Word. And you can even be impressed, you can be touched, but that doesn't mean it's yours. It doesn't become yours until you ask by faith. We, brothers here, are exercised to release the Word. You there need to be equally exercised to receive the Word. If something touches you, you need to, by faith, pray it back to the Lord. Otherwise, it's not yours. You may be inspired. You may be excited. You may be touched. But that feeling comes and it goes. What stays is if you pray it back to the Lord. If you're touched that you don't have enough of a feeling to bear fruit, you need to pray that to the Lord. Lord, I'm sorry, I don't have this kind of feeling. I give it to you. Give me this kind of feeling. Give me this burden. We need to, as you're listening, as you're sitting there, there should be constantly conversations with the Lord, asking, telling, praying to the Lord concerning the word that you're hearing. This then causes you to get the spiritual things. Do you understand? Okay.
Let's have sisters read 2.
Amen. This shows us another principle. That is, it's good to declare the divine facts. I am right now in this baptism. It doesn't really matter how you feel. You declare the facts. Okay, let's read 3 together. Okay, exercise your faith. What does that mean? Exercise your faith. You've heard exercising your spirit, but what about exercise your faith? Is that the same? Exercising your faith. We'll touch this point on later on in point E, but let's go to D first. We all have been rescued from the concept that we need gimmicks. We do not need any gimmicks like rock music, movies, or dramas. You know, the early disciples, they never used any gimmicks. They just had the Spirit and the power from the Spirit. We have to follow the same way, brothers and sisters. You know, those of you who have been on campuses, sophomores, juniors, seniors, you've seen the other Christian groups. And I'm not condemning them, but sometimes it seems like they're drawing a lot of people, so successful. And they may or may not be using gimmicks, drawing, using different things to draw them. We can't take that way because the Bible doesn't show us that way. And all we have and all we need to be effective in the gospel is the Spirit. Because this is the way the Lord gave us. We don't need to draw them with different gimmicks. You know, to me, gimmicks, it may seem successful, drawing many people, but to me, it's kind of like if you had a health food store and you want to help people to eat healthy, but you're not getting much business. So you try to draw people in by giving them samples of donuts. Free donuts. Come into my store. Well, once the people taste the donuts, do you think they're going to want your quinoa and kale? Once you get a taste for something, you're going to want that more. We have to consider, what are we drawing people to? Are we drawing people to music? Are we drawing people with activities? Are we drawing them with the Spirit and the Word? Brothers and sisters, this is the way we have to take. We take the Spirit and we take the Word. If it worked for the early disciples, apostles, and the believers, surely it'll work for us. Everything we have, the power is in the Spirit. Amen. Okay. E, we do not need any gimmicks to preach the gospel, but we need to confess and to consecrate. Okay. So it's clear. We have the Spirit, right? We have the economical Spirit. In that Spirit is power. All we have to do is claim, ask for it, right? How come then you may ask for it, but you still don't feel bold? Have you ever had this experience? You're about to go on the gospel, and you know there's power, there's boldness in the Spirit. And so you ask, Lord, give me the Spirit. Lord, thank you, I have the Spirit. And the more you try to say it, the more there's no boldness. Have you ever had this experience? I've had this many times. Okay. If you have had this experience, read 1 with me. If we love the Lord, His Word, the reason why we feel like we don't have the boldness is because we don't have enough faith. Our faith is not exercised. It's not exercised. How do we get faith? Faith here
always comes from a good conscience without offense. If you want the boldness that's mentioned in the Spirit, you have to confess. You have to confess. It's not a matter of trying to convince yourself, I'm bold, I'm bold, I'm bold. No. It comes automatically. If you have confessed thoroughly, if your conscience is without offense, the boldness will be there automatically. If you don't have the boldness, that shows you haven't confessed enough. We all need a thorough confession until our conscience becomes good and without offense. Automatically, the boldness will be there. This is how we exercise our faith. The more we confess, the stronger our faith is. Let's read two together. This is such a good prayer. You all should, including myself, we should put this on a reminder on our cell phone, like on our front page, to remind us every morning to pray this prayer. Okay, three. I'll read this. Then exercise your faith to believe that the Spirit is in you and that you are in the Spirit. Under the outpouring of the Spirit, if you do this, you will have such bold faith. When you go to the campuses, you will see a difference. Brothers and sisters, to be effective in the gospel, it doesn't matter on your disposition. It doesn't matter if you're naturally gifted, if you're naturally more outgoing. It doesn't matter. In fact, some of the best, the most fruitful people are introverts. What you need is the Spirit. To be effective on the gospel is a matter of power. The power is in the Spirit. The Spirit is applied by faith. And faith is based on a pure conscience. To have a good conscience, you need to confess. All these things kind of, you can see how all these things lead to another. To preach the gospel, we have to begin by confessing. Confessing until our faith is strong. Then we can apply the Word. Then we can receive the Spirit. We can have the boldness and then go out. Okay, this is the first thing you need to preach the gospel, the experience in life. Let's read Roman numeral 3 together. The second item we need to preach the gospel is the experience of the body. Now, John 15:16, as I mentioned earlier, says, I set you that you should bear fruit. What else does he say about the fruit? It should remain. That's right. So for you to bear fruit, you need experience of life. Excuse me, the experience of the Spirit. You need the power in the Spirit. But if you want your fruit to remain, you need the experience of the body. What is the experience of the body? A, if we behave and work in the Spirit, the Spirit will direct us to the body. The first thing we have to understand about the body is the oneness. The body is one. Amen. Preaching the gospel is a work for the entire body. We should not do the gospel work in an individualistic way. We must do it in the body. How do we do the gospel in the body? How? If you want to know, read B. The young people's Let's have the freshmen read one. Well, that's kind of weak. Okay, let's have the sophomores stand and read two. All the ages. Let's have the juniors read 3. Amen. And let's have the seniors read C. If you notice pattern there, it was weak, but it got stronger and stronger as we got. That's okay. That's okay, freshman. You still have time. Okay. You need to get connected with some saints who are not your age. Some saints who have a home. Whoever is not connected, and when I mean connected, that means to have a home that you go to at least once a week to visit, to pray, to fellowship. If you don't have a home, raise your hand. Oh, okay. No one raised their hand, so I just assume you're all too scared to raise your hand. Or, better yet, maybe you all do have a home you're connected to, but I kind of doubt it. I think maybe some of you are afraid, and that's okay. But if you're not connected to the home, to a home, your assignment is to get connected. You have to get connected during your college years. Freshmen, get connected. If you've just moved into a new locality, you're new to the area, you got to get connected to some saints, to a family, to a home. How do you do this? Ask those who are connected already. Ask fellow students. Use every time we have a whole week together. Ask people next to you, students in your room, those in your group, the 2 and 3 time, the rec times. Ask them, how did you find a family? How did you get connected? What did you do? What do you do in those homes? What do you do with your family? We need to learn how to get connected. If we don't learn, if we're not connected, the body is just an abstract term to us. You cannot know the body unless you're connected, you're coordinated, and practically with some saints. This is the experience of the body. Okay, D, if all the churches practice preaching the gospel in campus, in the campus work in this way, we will have a prevailing church life. Let's all read the focus together.